We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
I loved Super Wild Card Weekend.
You're going to buy into that, huh?
And the hell, I hope you're not one of them. The hell with people going, oh, the expansion of playoff teams made Wild Card Weekend less fun because of the blowouts. Are you one of those people?
No. I enjoy it.
Because those people can go suck an egg.
That's an old saying.
Yeah. Oh, it's a good one.
But
that's
it
a good
is,
one.
But you're showing your age.
Go suck an egg. You don't like extra wild card football games. Go suck an egg.
But the thought of half the league making it to the playoffs, like,
I
see
not,
the
it's
other
not
side.
Half. I get what you're saying. I think probably the NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs are probably a little bit diluted, but who gives a bleep? Postseason action is fun.
But, Hawk, did you watch the Patriot Bills game and they blew them out by 40. They could have scored 60
that's
if
right.
they wanted
and
to.
And I loved it. As a gambler, I love it, first of all.
Oh,
I mean,
we're killing them.
Pittsburgh had no business being in the playoffs.
No.
Philadelphia had no business being in the playoffs. New England had no business being in the playoffs. Love it. Absolutely love it.
The Eagles
Arizona
are.
Is the most fraudulent NFL team. I had told you this. That was my best bet. I should have heavied up on that game.
Yes.
That was my best bet. I said it last week. That Arizona team got so exposed to me towards the end of the season. They were frauds.
Yep. I think somebody tweeted us about these young offensive geniuses.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see. Now, McVay won. The Rams won. The Rams
they look good.
Great.
Now, I like Matt Stafford.
Yes.
I like McVay, but that Rams team, I'm picking them over Tampa. How about that?
Excuse me?
I'm picking them over Tampa.
We got to talk this out.
They are rolling right now. Tampa,
we got 4 days.
You remember how difficult it is to repeat as a Super Bowl champion?
Very difficult.
The Rams are good, man. They are good, good.
Both sides of the ball?
I like them over Tampa. Like you said, we've been hitting them on the head, so we're enjoying what we're doing
I'm
right
about
now.
I'm glad I'm around. I'm going to give you a hug a little
tell
bit.
Tell you what, yeah, if I you're not on the Hockman train, go suck an egg.
Need a hug. Suck an egg.
And then Jimmy and Bam, they come back last night. And the Heat and Bulls right now, they're almost tied for first in the East. I mean, it is percentage points. And the Bulls have lost four in a row, by the way. And the Nets, who are in third in the East, have lost KD. This right now for the Miami Heat is a time to make a big push because Chicago might be regressing to the mean, and Brooklyn is going to have problems without KD, and now the Heat are home. You know, I think we talked with Michael McCullough on Friday. The Heat have 8 out of 9 at home. They've played one of those so far. Or two of those so far? Two of those so far.
Three of them.
Three
so
of them
far.
So far? And they've won all three? No. They
no,
lost
they
one.
Lost to Philadelphia on Saturday. They beat the Hawks Friday, and they won yesterday versus Toronto.
How come you can never get your microphone straight? I don't understand. I mean, you're blasting loud compared to the way that we're talking. How come that seems to be a running thing?
Testing, 1, 2, 3.
Couldn't you test 1, 2, 3 before we're on the air?
Well, no, I actually can't because I'm
you
not
can never
on
the air. Find the button.
Isn't that
like
amazing though? But I mean, I like the most local band at playing, you know, the band shell at you know some park. They've got a sound check. Like they're able to do it, you know, and they're paying for the right to be out there. We can't do testing 1, 2, 3 before we get on the air.
I don't understand what's going on with this board because I lower my microphone level to the level it's always at. But every time I open up my microphone to say the first word to you guys, my levels are all over the place.
So then it's not always where it's at. If it's never where it's always at, it would be somewhere else.
No, it's always where I put it. I mean, this is not,
right,
this
but
is
it's
not
always
a me
wrong.
Issue. This is
but
not
it's
a
always
me
wrong
issue.
Is what you're saying. You're saying you always put it at the same place, and then it's always a different level. So you putting it at the same place is just ensuring that the levels are going to be off.
Great to have you guys back in studio.
Why don't you put it in a different spot?
Is it 2 out of 3, Solana? Yes, they lost to the Philadelphia.
Goodness gracious, take it
it's
easy.
Like the old, I think it was Joe Piscopo on Saturday Night Live years ago, just the guy who couldn't modulate his own voice. Or it might have been Will Ferrell. It's like just complete inability to modulate his own voice. And he's the guy in charge. Yeah, they play just one game at home or two or three.
They play three games.
And he loses the button. Is it the same button to mic you up every day?
Every day.
And then, you can't find it for some reason. It's
right,
there.
But then he just immediately goes, check one, check two, check one. You're telling me. You literally can't check one, check two, check three before we're on the air.
How am I supposed to do a mic check if I'm not on the air? I don't understand.
Out of program one. The microphone still works. You just make that the microphone doesn't go over the air.
You've never taught me that.
Now it's over my head.
Unbelievable. Just, yeah. Well, also, I mean, in all honesty, he knows that he keeps putting it at the same spot. And but then it's always too loud. We've had this for weeks now.
Yes.
But his argument is, but I always put it at the same spot. And I'm like, well, don't put it at that spot anymore.
I lower it to the level that sounds good. Once we do this hoo-ha and I figure out, you know, an appropriate mic level, that's where I lower it to. But
testing,
every day.
Modulation. Testing.
Every day is different with this board.
Hoo-ha.
And the Panthers, so the Heat are essentially in first. The Panthers, by the way, sit atop the East. They've got the most points in the NHL.
Oh, they're doing it now.
And goals scored, they almost scored 10 this weekend. Saturday, they scored 9 goals. The night before that, they had scored 7 goals. They've scored 16 goals in 2 games.
And I asked Goldie one time, what is that like in football? He said, that's a 50 burger. Like, that's just, you
this
can't
is like,
keep up.
It's like Harlem Globetrotters on the ice. Like, they're just goofing around doing whatever they want. Like, hey, confetti and a goal.
Football in South Florida is letting us down.
Football let us down.
But look at the big picture.
No, we've got some
ballers.
We've got some legit stuff here with the Heat. The Heat are really blowing me away, man. The Heat and the Panthers, we've known this. The Panthers are unbelievably good, and we're still kind of crossing our fingers that the Miami Hurricanes basketball team is a legit contender in the ACC. They've got UNC tonight, I think.
Yes,
Tar Heels. UNC tonight, and then they've got FSU on Saturday. So
yeah, that's right.
Let's now you went real loud, real soft there within the same conversation.
Whispering. Come on.
Unbelievable. Man. You know this is an audio medium, right?
I'm aware, yes.
This would be like, I'm trying to think, PTI. They start the show.
Yeah.
And it's in black and white. Right?
Right.
And they go, hey, did you notice that the show is in black and white? I don't know. I have it on a setting here. There was no way for me to check, but a few minutes into the show, I'll get it into color. No problem.
Yeah, we'll get this turned around immediately.
Now I can't even hear him. Do you actually know how to use those buttons?
He's been exposed. All right, let's get headlines here with Alejandro Solana, if you can hear him.
This report.
Oh, there he goes.
It's driven by the new Palmetto Ford, South Florida's new and pre-owned truck superstore, Palmetto Ford. We know trucks online at MiamiPalmettoFord.com. So yesterday, final score between the Heat and Raptors, 104-99. Tyler Hero yammed it on Precious Achiuwa in his return to Miami.
Good.
Jimmy had a triple-double. Bam, 32 minutes in his first game back. He had 14-9. They host Portland tomorrow, FTX.
I mean, what's Spo doing here, too? You can't get a minute for Omer Yurtseven? I mean, come on. I mean, what
over Bam, huh?
What's happening here?
Oh, Bam's playing now.
Dwayne Dedman, you can't share some minutes with Omer and Dwayne Dedman? I'm just goofing.
Charity minutes? This is the
No charity minutes. You saw what Omer Yurtseven did while they were out. How dare you?
The Rams, it was 34-11.
Make his microphone softer. How dare you?
Over the Cardinals. They led 21-0 at halftime. And Stafford, he threw 3 touchdowns. He earned his first playoff victory of his career.
I mean, they were dominant from the get-go. I'm telling you, that Cardinals team is a fraud.
Yeah. Yeah. You call, and honestly, I'll give you a credit. You called it a long time ago.
Who would you rather have next season? Kyler Murray or Tua?
Kyler Murray.
Okay. I was just curious. I was just curious if last night he was on a different planet last night.
Yeah.
And on his planet, no one knew how to play football. Like, he was on a planet that had no football on it. They'd never had football. But I was curious if that, like, you know, because we've seen him. He's great or has been great.
Till he's not great.
But, man, the last few weeks, he has not looked great. And last night, he looked like he forgot how to play football. That, and again, we had the Rams. I loved it. That play where he was getting sacked in the end zone.
And flipped it out. Come on.
Like, I mean, that's football 101.
Eat the two. Don't give him seven.
I mean, that's bizarre to me. So he looked lost.
How about the play calling of having him back there that long?
Mm-hmm.
When you're on that, on the 1 yard line.
Well, get rid of it, though.
Let the ball go, Kyler.
I mean, we saw an awful call during the Dolphins season in that same area.
Mm-hmm.
They actually threw the ball into the end zone, very wide. And they got a safety out of that. Maybe the New York Giants with that sneak, really just downing the ball there is the way to go. That was embarrassing yesterday.
I would say, would you want Brian Daboll to work with Kyler or Tua? Because that's my pick right now.
Right. That's a good way to put it, and it would be Kyler Murray.
Yes.
Just got more natural talent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, guys, your schedule for tonight. Canes Women's Hoops, 13 minutes ago, they tipped off versus the 21st-ranked Duke Blue Devils. Again, 2 p.m. from the Watsco Center. They're looking for their third straight win and their second straight versus a ranked opponent.
That is going on right now in Coral Gables. Duke is up 5-3 early on in the first quarter.
At 7 p.m. from the Watsco Center, it's Canes Hoops versus UNC, as Hawk mentioned. Miami is a 2.5-point underdog at home.
That is the men's team, and I'm imagining that game is on 560 WQAM tonight?
Yes.
And the Panthers game, I'm guessing, is on 790 The Ticket?
Yes.
All right.
Panthers at Calgary, 9 p.m.
Very excited to watch this Panthers team. I mean, they are putting up goals at a pace you just don't see.
Mm-hmm.
You had fans chanting, "We want 10 at FLA Live Arena. The funny thing is, they were chanting that after the third goal. And then there was a fourth and a fifth and a sixth. They got to 9 goals. I mean, it was nuts, man. That team is something.
Bruno Man got them humming. I'll make a t-shirt.
Finally, guys, today is National Thesaurus Day.
Hawk.
An excellent joke.
You're a thesaurus guy.
I do like words that I like, you know, a word that maybe everyone else uses. You use a different word. You have a quiz for me or something?
No.
Okay.
I'm gonna set one up.
I mean, what were you doing? What were you doing? You weren't checking the sound. You weren't creating a quiz. What were you doing?
I clipped up Falero saying thesaurus.
You really think it's a thesaurus?
Thesaurus, yeah.
You win.
Oh, he pulled out the
You
truck
win.
Gun.
I remember. That's why I giggled when he said thesaurus, because I remember Falero saying that. You know, you have to check your thesaurus. And I'm like, you're thesaurus? You really think it's a thesaurus?
Thesaurus, yeah.
It's a damn dinosaur.
That is unbelievable. Thesaurus. Check your thesaurus. That is great.
All right, let's get to weather from the Demesman and Dover Accident Attorney Weather Center. Call 24/7 866-954 more. Right now, 70 degrees in Miami. Sunny tonight. The lows, oh my God, they're going to get down into the upper 40s.
Talk about it.
Man.
This is nice.
I argue with my kids this morning about turning the heat on.
You wanted to turn the heat on?
No, they wanted to. They were like, "Daddy, it's cold in here." I was like, "Put socks on. Put on pants."
Yeah. I'll tell you, when the Hockman house does not have the heat on, then you know it's not cold enough for the Heat.
No.
Because the Hawkmans will throw the Heat on with no problem.
Wow. I don't know. I honestly don't think the last – I don't know my Heat ever been on.
Really?
I've been in my house
Some people are
years.
Like that. Some people – you know, I don't understand this either. You know, they show you – they tweet out the pictures with their windows open and the ceiling fan on. And it's the same thing with the offensive linemen that they go out there in the five-degree game with just short sleeves. Yeah, okay. I got right. you. I got – yeah, okay. I got you.
We don't open the window, but we're not turning the right. damn heater on.
Oh, I love all the people. They, you know, I saw somebody driving with the convertible top down today on 95.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. I got you convertible down. I've got a convertible, too. But let's use a better governor as to when we put the top down. Okay, you're not impressing anybody, guy.
Should have got in front of him and dumped a bottle of water out the window just to teach him.
It was cold out. There's no question. For South Florida, it's chilly.
It's why I'm confused. You two are wearing shorts today.
I walk in today, and he goes, "Oh, you're the guy that has to wear shorts on a cold day." And I'm not, by the way. Mm-hmm. And I wear jeans here probably more than either of you. But I happened to be sitting outside in the backyard today with my wife before I drove down. And when you're sitting in the sun, it's hot.
It's nice.
There's not a cloud in the sky. It's hot. The air feels nice. But the sun is blazing hot. So when I got inside and I'm putting on my clothes to go to work, I put on a sweatshirt, a little hoodie on, but I didn't want to put jeans on because I'd just been sitting in the sun and it was nice. So, but yeah. then, so I'm telling him when I come in, he's complaining that because he had shorts on today and he changed into jeans before he came to work. And he goes, I'm just a little pissed that you're not wearing jeans because I changed into jeans. And I said, well, were you cold in your shorts? He goes, no. And I go, well, then why'd you change into jeans? And God bless him, I guess, for thinking ahead. He doesn't do it on the show, but I guess he does for his life. He goes, because it's going to be chilly when we get out of here tonight.
Come on.
Now, 48 degrees tonight.
48 degrees.
But first of all, it's going to be 48, I'm guessing, on the overnight, not at 6 o'clock.
3 a.m.
When we get out of here. But secondly, I guess kudos to you for like, I'm just not at a place in my life where at, like, noon, I'm thinking about what my legs might feel like at 6. I'm hoping I'm alive at 6. Like, I'm not – you're just worried about what your legs might feel like. I'm just hoping I'm around.
Damn, Mark. You okay?
Something we don't know about?
You feeling good? Yeah, man, I don't pay these taxes to wear no pants. That's my out.
Yeah, I like wearing jeans. Sometimes I wear jeans when it's 100 degrees out. I just, whatever I feel like putting on. But I literally was sitting in the sun with my wife before I was leaving. And I'm like, the thought of putting jeans on was just not palatable.
I wear boxer briefs before I put jeans on in 48. Y'all are crazy.
Let's get to your weather. Did I do weather already?
Pretty sure that's what got us on this topic.
That's your weather.
That's your weather.
I don't remember.
All right. Tuan Russell is going to join us in the next segment. We haven't talked to Tuan in a long time. We haven't talked to Tuan since Mario Cristobal was hired. Yeah. Obviously, since Brian Flores was fired. You know, he played for the Canes and the Dolphins. We haven't talked to him since the new year. So, a lot to catch up with. Tuan Russell, former Cane, former Dolphin. He'll join us next on Hockman and Crowder.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Unbutton your shirt, Twan.
Hawk and Crowder.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You want to see Loco?
Juan Russell, he played linebacker for the Canes and for the Dolphins. We always say it, this dude is South Florida for life. He is the athletic director, the boss at St. Thomas Aquinas, and he also runs the Russell Education Foundation. We always go out of our way to point out his charity and ask you for support, you being the listener, because Twan's always so very good to our show. You can always check out Russell Education Foundation. It really is one of South Florida's great local charities. And Twan is joining us here. I was vamping a little bit because Crowder left the studio during the commercial break, and he never returned. So if I start getting into the conversation with you, he's not going to know where I started. But now he'll be able to pick it up as he's walking in here. I don't know where he went and what he was doing, but I imagine you were late to a couple of huddles or something. Late to a couple practices, perhaps.
Y'all gonna find me? Don't find me. Don't find me. I'm worried about the fine.
Those fines are serious. Have you ever been fined for being late?
Bro, Jeff Ireland used to fine me for my eyebrows not being trimmed. I must have got fined six figures in my career.
Six figures?
Six figures. Six.
But that includes fighting and stuff.
Yeah, I got fined like $30,000 for the Matt Light situation.
You were prompt, right, Twan? I bet you were prompt for meetings.
I was prompt. I didn't make enough money to be late. You know, like when you make a lot of money, you have room for error. One time when I was in Washington, I wasn't even late. My coach gave me the wrong time to come back, and I left the room. And he said, "Hey, everybody, come back. We have to be here at this time." So I had already left. I got fined. I mean, I only got they took it easy on me. I only got fined $1,000, but I got fined because the coach made a mistake. He said I should have checked with the coach before I got there.
Well, I mean, the coach should kind of pick that up at that point for you, right? I mean,
he's not picking that up. That came out of my check, and back then I was at the bottom of the list, so you know I made league minimum, and. They, you know, I don't even think I was in six figures yet. I mean, I don't even think I was in five figures.
I got fined $7,500 for talking trash to a Cincinnati Bengals fan. Like, they were waiting to find me, Twan.
That was my whole check.
Yeah, times were different a little later on, Twan.
That was my whole check for the whole week. You just throwing that in my face, Crowd. I think you looked that up when I got home.
So, Twan, you have played football at every level. Obviously, we're talking about you in the NFL, play with the Dolphins and with Washington. But high school, college, you played at every level. You've coached football. You run now an entire athletic department. So, to me, you come at the firing of Brian Flores from a unique perspective. Because you know the football side, you know the coaching side, and as an administrator now, I'm guessing you also have to be concerned with the interpersonal side, the collaborative side, as Stephen Ross kept referring to. So I want to start there because we haven't spoken to you since Brian Flores was fired. When you heard he had been fired and you look at it, I guess, through the prism of being a player, being a coach, and also being an administrator, what are your thoughts about him being fired after three seasons?
I mean, I was shocked. I actually got a text from a buddy of mine said that he was fired. And I was actually taken back a little bit because I'm thinking, oh, wait a second. He's had two winning seasons. Yes, we haven't made it to the playoffs. But you can see him on the cusp of making a significant difference in the organization. Now, I don't have any backstory on what's going on behind the scenes, but I know when I evaluate my coaches, number one, you got to win. And people say, well, winning can't be the number one thing. Absolutely. Winning has to be the number one thing because you have to win in their life. You have to help them win in character. You have to help them win to be the best person they can be, because when you win in all those aspects of their life, then you can win on the field. So winning is at the front of every aspect of a coach. And I don't know what he was doing off the field. Was he winning in the lives of these men and helping them become who they're supposed to be? Because the greatest coaches are the greatest motivators in life. I mean, you know, when you think of Dungy, what made him great is that he was a leader of men. And football was the manifestation of what he did off the football field. Most of those players talked about how the coach transformed their life, transformed their marriages, helped them become better husbands and fathers. Well, I don't know that aspect, but you know, that would be my focus, is to make sure that what he's doing off the field and the lives of the men on the team is number one. Now, as far as collaboration and things like that, I have some challenges with coaches at St. Thomas, but what I do is I figure out a way to take a good coach who has challenges and give them support that they need. And you have some coaches that don't want that support, and you have to transition them. But a lot of times you can find their weakness and place someone in between you and that coach that allows you to fix the problem. If it's communication and it's a good coach, you find someone that's going to help them communicate. If it's if they struggle with logistics, you find someone to help them fix the logistical piece. And this is not me, but sometimes you just don't like a person. Well, that means you don't probably want to deal with them on a daily basis. Find someone that you can put in between to help you fix that problem, because if they're winning in the lives of those men and they're winning on the football field, it's hard to let those people go, because it's so hard for a coach to win at any level. So you kind of have to figure out a rhythm and figure out a way to help these coaches win.
Well, Tuan, along that standpoint, we saw all the reports, Jeff Darlington and you know,
right,
everybody out there, you know, reporting on the Dolphins firings, where they were talking about the communication side of it. Like you said, the logistics is one thing. Guy's not good on social media, like the new age guy, but communication, isn't that the number one thing with a coach, to be able to communicate with his players and his staff? And that was what I've heard with Flo. I don't know if the communication was there. Isn't that one of the number one things with a coach?
Well, I mean, that's in anything. I don't care if it's your marriage or you're the CEO or the President of the United States. You have to have great communication. But you also have to have people around you to communicate well. I mean, when I look at coaches, their number one job is to win in their sport, and communication sometimes is not at the forefront of their mind, depending on what type of coach it is. And I didn't know Coach Flores very well at all. But you can fix communication problems by putting people in place that force his hand. Like if you have an issue in communication, can you find someone to stand in the gap? And I don't know to what degree that they were able to, you know, try to fix those problems. But if you did all of that and you still couldn't fix the problem, I can understand where someone would get frustrated and make a transition. But it's just hard to find good coaches. I mean, in my mind, as soon as they said, "Hey, we're gonna let him go," he was gonna be coaching somewhere in our division. That was my fear, that, you know, now not just the NFC, I mean AFC East, but potentially in the AFC, and we would have to see him, you know, once a year or twice a year every year, and that's the biggest fear. But I'm sure, hey, the leadership at the Dolphins are second to none in the National Football League. They do it at a high level. They hold character to a very strong degree, and I'm sure they exhausted everything that they could do to try to make it work. And it's unfortunate that they parted ways, but yet, to your point, communication is important.
Tuan Russell is with us. Are you confident in the team if Tua is the long-term quarterback? That's really the million-dollar question. Crowder and I were talking about, you know, Kyler Murray last night, and now what do people start thinking of him? But what about Tua? Is Tua the long-term answer for the Miami Dolphins at quarterback, from what you've seen over two seasons?
I mean, what I've seen is that we don't know. I mean, I think that's the part that a lot of people are indifferent about. You know, he's showed moments where he's like, man, he can lead us to a championship. And he's showed moments where we're like, which guy is this? He has, you know, it's two sides of a coin. So, you know, he's had injury problems the last couple of years. He's missed some games each of the years that, you know, he's been in the National Football League. And I still don't feel like I've seen the complete story. Can he lead us to a championship? Because that's, at the end of the day, that's why you take a guy like Tua. Can he lead us to a championship? I would hope so. I don't have enough information to make that decision. And, you know, when you bring in a new coach, that coach is going to have to make a very quick decision. am I willing to put my job on the line and Tua pulling me through, the first couple of years of my job? Because they're only going to have, what, 2 or 3 years, if you see in the net, across the National Football League. So it's going to be interesting to see if a coach is willing to take that chance. Because if they bring in a new guy, if they go out and, bring in a new guy or bring a guy, they potentially may get exactly what they want. Are they selling with Tua? I'm not sure. I mean, I like Tua. He does a good job. He's definitely he hasn't been as consistent as you would want a person in that position, especially if you're trying to get into the playoffs and hopefully get to the Super Bowl. And after a couple of years, you're still not sure. And, do you want to put your livelihood on the line not being sure about somebody?
Antoine, I'm not coming off this point. You can try to talk me off of it if you want to, but your angle. We need an offensive guy. We have our next head coach has to be an offensive man, has to be offensive minded, has to take control of the offense. The defense, I believe, Tuan, is a playoff style of defense. I think our defense could be right now with one of these teams still playing. Our offense isn't there. Am I wrong about that? Offensive guy is what we need.
Offensive head coach. I don't know if we necessarily need an offensive head coach. I do know that whoever, if we go defensive minded head coach, we need to have a offensive coordinator who has autonomy to act as if he's the head coach over the offense. We cannot, if we bring in a defensive head coach, we can't bring in a guy who has to, go through a defensive minded coach. You have to have someone who has autonomy, who can make the decisions and run that side of the ball as if he's the head coach of offense. A lot of people believe that every, head coach should be an offensive-minded head coach. And I think it's easy to say that because we've struggled on the offensive side. But remember, when you decide to go offensive head coach, defense wins championships. So what do you lose on the defensive side that's going to allow you to be successful? I'm fine with either one, but I do know if you go defensive head coach, you better have a guy that can be, that can make every decision, and he can operate at a high level, and let him do his thing. And when I've seen that scenario work more so than I've seen, I'm a head coach, I'm a defensive minded guy, and I'm involved in every aspect of the offense, that becomes problematic. So whoever that guy, if we do bring in a defensive head coach, we got to make sure that he brings someone in on the offensive side that has the ability and has the mindset that's willing to push back against the head coach to make sure he's accomplishing what he needs to do on the offensive side.
And to that point, Twan, because it's something, you over there at St. Thomas, man, y'all got Roger Harriet. He's a damn legend. Everybody knows it. And everybody loves Roger. So he's going to bring in a staff. But to hire somebody, how do you go through the process right now that what Stephen Ross and Chris Greer got to do, Tuan, that, okay, I'm going to hire you. How can they prove to you that they can hire a staff that's going to be just as good as they are? Because to your point, like you're saying, they can't do it all. They can't be on both sides of the ball. How do you know if a guy can get a staff around him that's going to maximize the football team?
Well, great leaders hire their staff before they need them. And when you look at someone who's really entrenched in the game, they have contingency plans. Yes, they may have a great head coach, a great offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, even it could be a special teams coach. They know the top 5 to 10 guys that they would choose in the event that something happened with this, with this coach. If you have a special teams coach and he wins the lottery and now he's a billionaire, well, who's going to replace him? And if you don't have 3 or 4 guys, if you've already vetted and talked about and gotten to know through other people, you're already behind the eight ball. My bet is that they've been talking about who their next leader is for the Miami Dolphins for the last year. And because I know great organizations do that, and understanding who the people are that run the Miami Dolphins, they have contingency plans. They've thought about it. Now, they may not be able to get that person depending on the scenario, but I bet you they had 3 or 4 people before this decision was even made that they've been doing a soft search and a soft understanding of could he lead the Miami Dolphins.
Speaking of leaders and coaches, I would be remiss, Tuan, if I did not bring up our beloved you. We have not spoken to you since they hired Mario Cristobal as their new head coach. What is that hire? The hire of Mario Cristobal away from Oregon. What does the hire mean to the University of Miami?
We're all in. I mean, they clearly went all in. And they clearly said, hey, you know, we're pushing all our cards in, and we want to be successful. And when you take a guy like a Mario, you check every box. He's an alumni. He's been to several different colleges. He's seen it done at a high level, several different places. He's done it personally at a high level. The best way to judge a leader is to look at what they've already accomplished. He's done it as a coordinator. He's done it as a head coach. He's done it as a position coach. He relates. He's worked himself up through the ranks, so he understands each level. He's going to outwork everybody. You know, he's not going to walk in a room and say he's a, you know, the best at anything, but he's saying I'll outwork you to be successful. And that's really what, when you look at what embodied the Hurricanes back in the 80s and in the early 90s. Was we outworked everybody. We didn't always have the great best talent. Now, we had amazing talent, but we outworked everybody. We showed up every day, and we were trying to win every practice so we can win every game. And he's bringing that mentality in already. What you see him doing in recruiting just in the few weeks that he's been at the University of Miami is amazing. I've never seen so many recruits on social media throwing up to you, taking photos with Mario. I don't even know how he gets around. Like, I know he doesn't have a helicopter, but it feels that way because he's everywhere. And that's the mentality that you have. And as that ball starts rolling, he almost has it at the top of the hill. And when he pushes that thing over, the momentum is going to be ridiculous. And people are not going to be able to keep up with it because he's going to out-recruit you. And we don't have to worry about there being talent in South Florida that he hasn't made a decision on should they be at the University of Miami, because he's already going to be at their house, already talked to their parents, already talked to the coach, already taken a photo, made sure they know that we are interested. Those things are going to change. No longer a coach would say, well, they haven't been in my school. We're going to have to kick him out of the schools. So those are not going to be the issues, and that's the exciting part of what he's bringing to the table already.
And reportedly, because UM's a private school, they don't have to report their employees' salaries, but Mario's going to make $8 million a year. Miami hasn't done that in the past, Twan. Why now? Why did y'all just open up y'all piggy bank? And I'm looking at Hawk, too, y'all.
Because we were tired of you yapping. That's why we were tired of you yapping.
Why did y'all just open up the piggy bank for Mario?
You know, I was talking to a buddy of mine just the other day, and we were just talking, and this is just my opinion. I have no facts to base this on, but this is just what I'm thinking. When you look at when the University of Miami was operating at a high level from a football standpoint, winning national championships, they were generating a lot of money. The excess of that money was used to bless the school and help the medical program and help, you know, the different aspects of the school. Well, now the medical program is one of the top medical programs in the world. Now that program, I'm just making this stuff up. I don't know if any of this is true, but I feel like now that program has the ability, you know, University of Miami has abundant resources to invest back into the football program to help it excel. And I truly believe that the reason they're able to do it because of the success they had in the 80s to help the school be more successful. Now that they've achieved all these goals, now the school is able to invest back into their football program to allow the football program to be better.
Twan Russell, former Dolphin, former Cane, friend of the program, athletic director at St. Thomas.
And won another state championship this year.
Russell Education Foundation.
You said it in such a negative way.
I'm rooting for you, Twan. I don't know what's going on, Crowder, but I'm rooting for you.
Like another, like it's a bad, like we just got a disease or something.
Four and five years or something, Twan?
You seem, because it's already January 18th, so it's probably late to be talking about this. We haven't talked to you in 2022, though. You seem like a New Year's resolution guy. Are you?
No. I'm
not?
No. I just make decisions. Like, I'm a random guy. Like, once I make my mind up I'm going to do something, it could be the beginning of the year or the middle of the year, but then I'll maintain it. Like, usually when I make a decision I'm going to do something, I do it. Like, I'm not a big New Year's resolution guy. I don't do things just because it's the beginning of the year. I do it because I need to do it.
Strikes me as the kind of guy that would have, like, a list and No, I'm not kidding you. Like, doesn't he strike you as the kind of guy?
Yeah. Oh, he has a diary.
You have a diary?
He has a diary.
It's funny. Yeah, I do. I
oh, my God. You two. Nailed that.
No, I do. You know,
I have
my
one.
Man.
I have one diary that I use, like, when I read scripture, I kind of write my thoughts down, what the scripture mean, what it thought. And then I have I wouldn't call it a diary, more notes. Like, I have so many meetings throughout the day. I'm constantly writing down what's going on in the meeting, but then I have, like, a diary part where it becomes my action items, like, you know, what did I take out of the meeting? What did I learn? How can that meeting help me be successful? What can I change because of the meeting? And I just kind of write my thoughts, because as soon as a meeting's over, your brain's running and it gives you all these ideas. So I write all those ideas and those thoughts down so that I don't forget them. Because if I don't write them down, they are gone by the time I get to the door.
Yeah, he is so much deeper than I am. Yeah. And like, I don't remember a person's name 1 second after I've met them.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
But you're writing down thoughts, so will you go back and check those at some point and say,
I do.
Wow, this
I do.
Guy.
Like something, and a lot of times, what's so cool about diaries, it's almost as if you didn't write them. A lot of times I write things down, and I'm like, man, this doesn't even sound like me. It doesn't even seem like something I would write. But you know, really, like, you have a conscious and a subconscious. Usually when you're writing, a lot of times your subconscious is coming out, and you can write thoughts that you haven't consciously thought through, but you're putting it on paper, and when you come back to it, you can process and evaluate it. But there's, you know, there's a whole thought process about, you know, what you're conscious about and what you're unconscious about, because your unconsciousness is listening to things all day long, and it has an opinion. So how do you get that opinion out? Sometimes the opinion's not very good, but a lot of times that's where the big ideas come from, is when you journal, or when you, I call it talking randomly. Like, I have a video recorder on my phone. I'll just kind of talk my thoughts out, and then I will listen to it. And when I listen to it, it helps me process what I'm thinking.
And has Hawk or myself made any diary entries?
No, but maybe I might put some in another day.
Dear Diary. Why do I keep – do you start with Dear Diary?
No.
Because I picture, like, Marsha Brady writing in her diary. This is so mind-boggling.
With a lock on the top.
With a little lock and a tiny key.
But you know my fear. You know my fear is? My fear is someone's going to find the diary, because I write on – like, it's an uncut communication. And I'm usually not talking in, like, intelligible terms. Like, sometimes I'm just writing out a thought. I'm just writing it because I just have to get things out. And I spell things wrong because I'm just writing real fast just to get things out. If somebody read that, they would think I need to go back to school.
Antoine, we've known each other for 15 years now, and I know you don't cuss. Do you cuss in your diary?
No, I don't curse, but sometimes I think about it.
Dear Diary, MF and Hockman and Crowder Show, disaster again. Because it's so deep. He's talking about scripture and getting his thoughts together, and all I can picture is on our podcast, Twan Russell, : I keep a diary. Like, all I want is the clicks. I'm so not deep. And you are, man. I love talking to this guy.
No, but one time, though, I was just thinking. One time in my diary, I was trying to – I had a hard conversation with somebody, and they were cussing through the whole thing. And I randomly just wrote, well, why do people always have to say – and I put the first letter and the last letter of the cuss word. I didn't even write the cuss word out.
Edit your diary?
It's his own diary.
He's an amazing dude. Twan Russell. We love Twan Russell. Support the Russell Education Foundation. You can go to RussellEducationFoundation.com. He does great work in the community and with St. Thomas, of course, and on this show. Thank you, Twan. A magical appearance once again.
I appreciate it. If anybody loves to run, we actually have a 5K on February the 13th at Vista View Park. You can go to our website and sign up. It should be a pretty cool run. So love to have you involved. It's on February 13th.
Awesome. There you
just
go.
Just come and hang out. Is there a hangout tent?
Can I diary somewhere? Can I journal?
I get, at what point in the 5K are you going to pull out a diary and start writing?
No, at mile 0.01, because I ain't running. the most cardio I'm getting is writing in the diary. All right, there you go. Twan Russell. We love you, Twan. Thank you, man.
Hey, appreciate you guys. Love you, too.
There you go. Twan Russell. We take a break. We come back with more Hockman and Crowder.
We apologize. This is the Hock and Crowder Show.
Drop your draw.
Hock and Crowder.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.